So, you know, that brings in all kinds of, you know, here's what I, first thing, we must accept the teachings of Jesus if we are to be Christians. Otherwise, we lose our Christiness. And we don't be, we're not like him anymore, and so therefore we're not worth anything because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. You know, just like salt. If salt doesn't taste salty, what are you going to put it on your steak anyways? Well, it doesn't have any flavor, but let's just put it on there because that's what we do. No. It's useless. Pointless. As Jesus says, but to be cast into the street. Well, that's still good for soaking up water or melting ice. But that's not the point of salt in the parable that Jesus is using it in. The point of salt is to taste right, to be salty, to taste like a Christian. So first of all, we have to accept the teaching that it is adultery. So having accepted that, now, of course, that opens all kinds of doors, doesn't it? Well, my relative is divorced and she married someone else. And it's adultery. Now what? Now what? What do you do now? It is not that divorce is the unpardonable sin, or that adultery is an unpardonable sin, or it's a condition you cannot extricate yourself from. But it must be recognized as sin, and or the sin of it must be recognized. And so what does it mean? Should we go back to our original husband? You can't do that. That would be just adultery on top of adultery. And there's no point to it. Sometimes the new relationship is cursed and it comes to an end. I've seen it. And so things never go well in that. At some point, though, through Christ, we can be free. We can be free from the curse of our sins. We can be free from the stain of adultery. But we must acknowledge our sins first. Acknowledge that what we have done is sinful. And God can forgive us and cleanse us of our iniquity. And so make things right again. So, you know, and not that you should now automatically think I ought to leave my new husband because it's adultery. Well, when you went to him, you committed adultery. And the divorce was adultery. But now if you come to Christ in that place, repent. And have a different change of mind. Don't leave your new husband now. But repent of the sin that was and recognize it as sin. And don't do it again. And also, what if we already know this? Then we should never get divorced. And what if we do? These ought not to be. What am I supposed to make a way, an explanation of how you navigate the treacherous waters of sin? I won't give you anything. Don't do it. But, you know, we're not under bondage in these things. The Apostle Paul said, if the unbelieving wish to depart, then they depart. But if you have, you know, if your wife leaves you, maybe you ought to just stay out of that game. It's not it's adultery when you go and marry someone else. Sometimes people can't abide together anymore, I suppose. It ought not to be. But in a world of sin, so many things are that ought not be. But what is the real point of Jesus here? Because there's a real point, is that they had used this divorce, and just carte blanche, if a man wants to divorce his wife, divorce her. And they thought they were justified in it. That's the problem, is that they would justify themselves in their deeds. And they would feel righteous in their deeds. The point is just that we should not feel righteous in doing such things. Remember, they had made it, it's kind of like the Catholic indulgences, right? That it was wicked to sell forgiveness for sins, but it's not that forgiveness of sins is a bad thing. Although we shouldn't want to be forgiven for our sins. So, you know, carte blanche just divorcing and thinking there's no unrighteousness in it does not mean that every time you're divorced, you're under God's curse or something. What it means, rather, is that don't think you can justify yourself in it. You will not be justified. It will be sin. And we must be cleansed of our sins. So we ought to make it our goal to never be divorced. Just like my goal is to never steal and to never murder and to never do all manner of stuff. I mean, think evil, you know. Those are my goals too. So that's what we do. Verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he cannot enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Adults generally tend to want to, oh, the master's busy, you know, we don't want these kids around here, these little brats. There's a lot of people don't want to suffer children. You know, we think of our adult ways and adult parties and adult humor and adult this and adult that. And a lot of things they label as adult, to me, are the most childish things of all. Adult language is not very grown up, in my opinion. It's resorting to the most simplest kind of talk and to the most easily done. It's easy to spit out a foul word every other word. It's laziness. I don't have a proper verb for this, so I'll just substitute something stinky. And they call it adult language. You know, and then they call them adult beverages. And you give an adult a drink, and they start acting like a complete idiot. How adult. And I despise all such things, because to me it just makes it more tantalizing to children. They think, well, when do I get to do the grown-up stuff? When do I get to be an idiot? When do I get to talk like an idiot? When do I get to behave like a jerk? You can't smoke till you're 18. You know, all they do is they set it as a goal. Okay, when I'm 16, I drive. When I'm 18, I smoke. When I'm 21, I drink. And children, we forget what's best about children. And as adults, sometimes we lay aside the best aspects of childhood in favor of the worst aspects of adulthood, which are really just satisfying childish desires without regard any longer for authorities or consequences. Jesus says, such is the kingdom of God, that those good things about childhood, the positive things that he's looking at as a child, is the way they're humble. You know, these little ones that believe in me. I won't speak to the gullibility. We shouldn't just believe gullibly anything. But when it comes to our Lord, we ought to believe with our whole heart.